We've been talking for a little bit, guys, but I'm joined with Anthony Sparks, who is a sports scientist by trade. We've met last week, but we've been speaking on and off through Instagram for a couple of years, probably. Just haven't managed to meet through various reasons, but now we've met and here we are. And we're just going to have a chat about Anthony, or Sparky, as he likes to be called, what he does, what he enjoys doing, his opinion on some topics, and yeah, just sort of coaching and things that he knows more about than I do, so he can teach us all. So yeah, how are you doing, Anthony? Are you good? I know we've already done this, but we'll do it again. Are you good?
Yeah, that's I'm all good, thank you, pal. Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. It's always nice to have the opportunity to share value. And, you know, I hope, you know, whoever's watching, you know, be it straight after the recording or further down the line, hopefully I can bring some value to someone somewhere.
Absolutely.
That would be nice. That would be a win-win for me.
Yeah, no, you will do what you will do, man.
For sure.
So tell the people, let's do the cliche sort of, what should we know about you before we start this? Give us your context in your best way.
Okay. So yeah, obviously, as Ollie, you know, very kindly introduced me, my name's Anthony. I'm 26 years old. I'm from Surrey. And my background is obviously in sports science. I've been around football, you know, literally since I was knee high to a grasshopper, you know, since I was tiny. And I've just been, I suppose, as we all are, you know, on this journey. And, you know, certain things come up along the way, you know, certain events happen, you meet certain people. And it's part of the wonderful journey that is life. And I think that's how we should view life. You know, we should view life as certainly as a journey, you know, rather than a certain point in time or, you know, whatever. So I suppose backtracking a few years, went to university, studied sports science, as well as obviously pursuing my football at the time, before injuries, I suppose. So it's so cliche, but you know, unfortunately, injuries prevented me from kind of progressing with my football in a playing capacity. But as I say, you know, these things happen along the way, and it opens more doors for you. And you know, I'm certainly very grateful for everything that I've experienced along the journey. I think you have to be, because that's where the greatest learning is, you know, in your experiences and being able to learn from that moving forward. So yeah, I suppose that's kind of a good starting point. So I'm a football coach, but obviously, as I say, I do sports science work with youth players as well. So my work day to day is within youth football development. It's my real, you know, my real driver, if you like, you know. But I suppose people should have these drivers in their lives in terms of what makes them tick, you know. And you know, youth development for me is a big one. It's a bit, I just get such passion from it, you know. I love the sense of contribution.
Yeah, and if you love football as well, and you love, you know, it's a match made in heaven, isn't it? Because you get to do your two favourite things in one, so it's like perfect. You've got the love of football and teaching football, and that, like, teaching is a great way of improving your ability to, your own ability to do something, isn't it? So you're also doing that as well.
Oh yeah,
and you get to impart wisdom, and you're not just training these boys for football, but you're also coaching them for life as well. Maybe without even realizing there's a massive, you know, because life and sport are very much linked in loads of ways, which is why I think we love it so much.
I'll tell you what, we've had a few technical glitches so far, haven't we, eh? But hey, you've got to roll with it, you know. Everything's no problem.
I think that's we'll go with it. My recording from my laptop is fine anyway. If you can hear me well, then.
As I say, I can hear you well. And I think just going to digress on that point I made just there in terms of having the attitude of everything's no problem, I think is a very, very good way to approach life. I think it's such a good attitude and mentality. If you're literally just like, no matter what comes your way, if you are like, no problem, if that is your attitude, how can we solve that? You know, just being solution-minded, you know, rather than fixating on the problem and spending most of your time and your energy on that. Just focus on, okay, this situation's happening or whatever it is, you know, it's no problem. What can we do about it? You know, I think it's a great attitude to have.
You are a very positive person, aren't you?
But not to the point where, I don't think it is like annoying or whatever, because you've got a, like I've heard it from Jim Rohn. You know, Jim Rohn has taught me so much. He's a for those who don't know, he's a personal development philosopher. He's probably one of the founding origins of personal development, and he always says, you know, you can't ignore the negative. You've just got to learn to handle it. And I think, again, it's just flipping it into a positive, you know, just being learning to handle negatives is, yeah, something that Jim Rohn has taught me for sure. So, yeah, shout out to Jim.
Shout out to Jim. Yeah. No, that was one of the questions I was going to ask. I don't know why I'm talking to the microphone. I was going to ask, who are your inspirations? And Jim Rohn is obviously one of them. Yeah. Is he connected to The Secret? Is he sort of Bob Proctor, that sort of esque person, or is he someone different?
Yeah, definitely.
He is.
Definitely. For those that know the book Think and Grow Rich, so obviously that was written by Napoleon Hill, who mentored a guy called Earl Schoaf mentored Jim Rohn. So it's kind of like a chain of events that, you know, through time have, you know, kind of honed these personal development principles, if you like, and they are timeless. You know, they're absolutely timeless. Like the information that was written in Think and Grow Rich, the book by Napoleon Hill, was in the 1920s, I think. It's timeless. It's priceless information. It's just, you know, what bits of that are you going to, you know, gain from it and trying to apply to your life, I think is, you know, what can you do with that information? You know, how can you apply it to your life? You don't have to like use it all. You don't have to absorb it all. It just can be certain bits that you want to try and implement, you know?
Cool to use bits that, because it's like a jigsaw, building your own. A personal development journey, I think, is like a bit of a jigsaw in the sense that you have to take, well, actually, not a jigsaw, I suppose.
No, I like that analogy.
It's like a jigsaw, and you have to take pieces from multiple different people and multiple different ideas and ways of thinking and concepts and his sort of history. And I would go things like mythology and all these things. There's so much wisdom buried in it, and you just have to sort of, if you're interested in self-development, you have to like expose yourself to as much of it as possible and focus on what calls out to you, and then build your own jigsaw and build your own puzzle and, you know, stumble through life as we all do on a daily basis, really. And, you know, and then people like you come along and you're making a difference to people, young people, and through your social media and stuff, putting great, you know, quotes and things out there. And that's what we have to do. We have to take the wisdom from the past forward and create new wisdom with the new environment that we all live in. And that's, you know, that's quite a hard thing to do. It's also really important. Right, give me, I'm just going to look at this squiggle that I've got.
Squiggle, what a word.
What does? I'm only taking the piss because my handwriting is just as bad. So, in fact, someone said to me literally 2 days ago, what the fuck is this, Ollie?
And I'm it's like, all good. I'm not taking it personally, don't worry.
So what does coaching mean to you? What is your coaching style? We've talked about it, but what is your coaching style? When you're working with young
question, fantastic Thanks. Question. Coaching means to me, I suppose, it's stretching that comfort zone. You know, you hear a lot of people saying, you know, you've got to get outside of your comfort zone. I don't necessarily see that as a good way to think about it. But that's just my personal opinion, you know. I like to think of it as stretching it, almost like working it like a muscle sort of thing, or stretching it like an elastic band. And the reason I say that is just purely because I think it's a more positive way to look at it. If you're focused on getting outside of your comfort zone, I feel like it just brings a lot of negative connotations with it, and a lot of added pressure, which isn't necessary. So I just like to think of it as stretching it. And obviously with coaching, you know, comes a lot of things around personal development, you know, growth, progress, leadership, you know, all these things that kind of come together. But I think the big thing for me with coaching, again, is that sense of contribution. It's being able to take a player from where they are and kind of help them on that journey to wherever they want to go. I think that's the biggest thing. And obviously seeing that journey and, you know, being with them all the way is brilliant. You know, it's a terrific feeling. And I was going to say something else, but it's left me and it will probably come back to me. So I think as a starting point, I think that's kind of what coaching means to me as a starting point.
Yeah. What's your sort of specifically, what are your coaching doctrines of how you coach?
In terms of
what's your style? Do you believe in pressure makes diamonds, or do you believe, are you more sort of arm around Maurizio Pochettino-esque teddy bear style, or are you a bit more Jose Mourinho shout at you until you concede?
This is another great point. So I see my coaching style as very calm, very collected, and very thoughtful. You'll never see me shout and scream at my players, ever. I don't believe you can fight fire with fire. You know, we spoke earlier about emotions. Now, if a player has, you know, heightened emotions, whatever that may be, I don't see any point in trying to fight that emotion with your own heightened emotions. Fighting fire with fire. I see little point in it. And I've just remembered what I was going to talk about in terms of what coaching means to me. Trust and relationships are two foundational pillars, if you like, in terms of how I go about coaching youth players. Because for me, if the players don't trust you, if there's no relationship, if you don't take the time to build a working relationship with them, especially as they're minors, you haven't got a chance. You literally haven't got a chance.
Yeah.
That's just my personal opinion. You know, some other coaches may see that differently. I believe in trying to build trust and a good, healthy working relationship.
Let's talk about sports science. What is sports science for anyone out there that doesn't know it very well? And I'm one of those people. So what does it entail? What does it involve?
Sports science, again, it's a good question. Sports science for me is just how can we maximize performance? How can we get the best out of whoever you're working with to achieve, you know, maximal sporting performance, if you like. So what things can we do around a person's sport in terms of their recovery, their nutrition, their strength and conditioning, their lifestyle, you know, all these different things that are around it. What can we do? What sort of things can we implement that is going to help keep that that progression trend going, if you like? So again, it does link back to personal development. You know, it's interesting how pretty much, you know, most aspects of what I do, it all relates to personal development in some way. It's interesting. Interesting to kind of.
It's cool you say that, because there's a quote, or I saw some guy who said, I didn't see him, but I watched a video, and he said, the only thing you'll ever do in life is work on yourself. And, you know, that in a way, that's quite a selfish sort of outlook to have. But I think what he means is that every endeavor you ever take on, you're perfecting and you're changing yourself at the same time as, or damaging yourself, I suppose, depending on what it is, as well as other people. But you're also, it's impacting you just as much as it's impacting other things. I don't know. It was a weird one. It was one of those sort of outlandish comments where you look and go, well, that's a bit of a weird thing to say. But I think it is an interesting idea, because ultimately all we are is ourselves. And do you get it? It doesn't mean it. I don't think he means it in a selfish way. He just means it as a point of everything relates back to us. And that's why the individual is so important. I was talking to someone and we were saying how being part of a team is obviously very important, and it's a necessary part of being human, and we're all part of teams and groups and things, but groups are just made up of individuals. So the individual is the key, and, you know, personal development is very much related to individuals, and then, you know, you scale it up and things like that. I saw a photo on Instagram where you in the fitness, what's it called again? Talk about the group that you set up or that you're part of.
I'm guessing you're referring to the Fit Men focus group. I'm guessing that's what what you're referring to.
Yeah.
And I suppose this is how I stumbled into personal development. You know, I got introduced to the concept by a very good friend of mine called Billy Davis. So big shout out to Billy. You know, I'm very grateful to him for, you know, just introducing me to a different way, you know, a different way, a different perspective on life. And yeah, so I'm very grateful to him. I suppose the purpose of it is to give guys a place where they can come and just be accepted for who they are, no matter where they are in their life, no matter what their background is. And we just, you know, it's a place where guys can just come and, you know, tap into other people's experiences and, you know, learn from different content that we kind of give in terms of, you know, health and fitness, personal development. You know, it's all around that. It's all around bettering each other, you know. And that's, I suppose, that's kind of the key purpose is to help blokes become the best they can possibly be, whatever that means to them. And, you know, we have a group chat via the Telegram channel. We have nearly 400 guys in there now. So it's, you know, we're definitely making a difference. We're definitely creating an impact. And it's just an amazing thing to be a part of. And we have that group chat where we share value, content, tips, you know, around, you know, different aspects of life. And we also do a lot of social events as well. So we got a lot coming up in terms of different events we've got going on. And obviously at the weekend, I was down in Worthing for our Sea and Sauna session, which was just one of the best experiences ever. I've never felt so good after, you know, something like that. It was just an amazing experience and a great group to be a part of. You know, it was a very small group of us. There was two groups of six, so it's different sessions back to back. But yeah, that was fantastic. That was a great experience.
That's really good. I saw you all there with your tops off, looking all muscular and ripped. It was good. Just getting out of the cold.
I mean, obviously the health benefits of, you know, hot and cold therapy are very well documented now, and
they're growing, aren't they?
It's a really good thing to do. And obviously these, I suppose they're mobile. I mean, the sauna that this guy had, it was basically a converted horse box, essentially, which he turned into a sauna cabin. And it was on the beach. And then obviously we spent 5 minutes in the sea, then 15 minutes in the sauna, then back into the sea for 5 minutes, back into the sauna for 15 minutes, and then finishing with 10 minutes in the sea. That was the procedure, if you like. that was the session. And it was fantastic. We're not saying that girls can't attend these, but our focus is around guys. You know, it's our focus because it's who we are, and it's who we're, we can relate to each other so much more. You know, we were actually talking at the weekend about, you know, how differently guys and girls think. And I really do think there is a real gulf in terms of our, not just our physiological makeup, but just our, the way we think. I think there is a difference, and it obviously, it stems back to, you know, when we were chimps. I mean, the book, is it The Chimp Paradox? Yeah. Is that right?
Chimp Paradox, yeah, by Steve Peters.
So that, I need to read it. It was brought up in the conversation. It was brought up in the conversation on Saturday. You know, if we hadn't read it, we needed to read it. And so that's going to be my book of choice for July. I'm gonna read The Chimp Paradox.
Going back to what you said about like guys and girls thinking differently, I think there's definitely some truth to that. There's a lot of similarities, but there are a couple of differences. Like, one of the things that I find really interesting is, you know, you've got fight or flight. Everyone talks about fight or flight, you know, bangs on about fight or flight, the fight or flight response, the parasympathetic nervous system and sympathetic nervous system. But there's another type of there's another stress response, which is called tend and befriend. And that's a technique, that's a more sort of female stress response. And what it means is, tend and befriend means tend to children, to infants, and then befriends other women and people around you. And that's how a lot of the time that's how women deal with their stress, or that's how science documents them dealing with their stress. And I think I've got loads of anecdotal evidence about that, and I think that makes sense. I mean, men tend and befriend as well, but men are more fight or flight. And I think that leads to a lot of the stereotyping and a lot of the lack of men talking about it, because it isn't within their makeup almost to talk about it. It's within their makeup to run away from it or to deal with it head on. Whereas women, it's in their makeup to speak to other people, literally tend and befriend. It's why female use their social groups as support so much. It's why girls comment on each other's Instagram photos going gorgeous, stunning, OMG, all that crap.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's crap, but it's as you rightly say, it's how they think, right? You know?
Vasopressin, which is a hormone that's released when you overcome a problem, when you find a solution to a problem. So that makes sense why men in military and working in armed forces and doing things like that you do with the Fit Men group, it's such a bonding thing because they're overcoming a problem and finding a solution together. So yeah, differences between men and women, but also, you know, fair enough, a lot of similarities. So you've got to consider both, in my opinion. Talk to me about dating.
I know what I'm looking for, which is a good starting point. You know, I think for me, the big thing that I look for in a partner, I suppose, or someone who I see as being a potential partner, the big thing is having someone to grow alongside. I think that's a big thing for me.
Yeah.
Because obviously I'm someone who doesn't want to stay as I am. I want to grow. I want to better myself. Yes. I want to develop. I want to see who I can become. I need to be with somebody who matches that energy. And like I couldn't be with someone who is just quite comfortable with who they are, and you know, I couldn't do it because we just wouldn't get on, I don't think. So I think that's the key thing that I look for, and the way I see, you know, an intimate relationship is two independent people who come together to obviously better each other and see who they can become. You know, two independent people on different journeys, and all they do is just encourage one another, better each other, grow together. All these kind of, it's what I look for. It's the big thing I look for.
Is one of the main doctrines of why I set up this podcast, really, because I want to encourage people who I believe are doing good, and I want them to realize that their efforts don't go unnoticed, which is why anyone that's on the podcast is because I believe that they're doing a lot of good. And even if it does go unnoticed, it doesn't go unnoticed by me, and it, you know, the universe, God is always watching, and they need to know that, you know, even in times of darkness, when you think, what's the point? There's no hope. If it ever is like that, then you've got to know that no, there is, because what people are trying to pursue is greater than a lot of what people pursue nowadays. Because I think we're in a time of hedonism and selfishness and corp sort of buying and monetization, and you know, it's not always wrong. It's leading to a lot of growth and a lot of wealth being sort of implemented into society, but the people that are trying to make the world a better place need to realize what they're doing, and that's really good. And, you know, hence why you're here.
Just going back briefly to relationships and that side of things. So my dad and I have a very, very close relationship. And we talk about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I actually posed the question to him recently in terms of relationships and what, you know, what he believes makes a good relationship, because I see him as a good person to go for that advice, because he's been with my mum for 30 plus years, you know, before marriage. So I think they're a good example of how a relationship should work, right? I see that. I definitely look up to that for sure, and what they've been able to build together. And I did pose the question to my dad. I said, you know, what do you believe makes a relationship long lasting, you know, what gives it longevity, and what, you know, what makes it tick? And he said the two key things are communication and compromise. He said those are the two things that have helped your mum and I the most. Communication, compromise.
Yeah. That's brilliant. That is so, and I think I feel like there's a lot less compromise and probably communication I think there's a lot less compromise in modern dating than there used to be. And I think there's a lot of inflated sort of sense of worths from many people and both sort of parties that come into relationships, and expectations and things. And I think that maybe that stems from how objectively rich and sort of fortunate we are in the modern era, with all the things we've got at our disposal. And, you know, the way we treat things is slowly seeping into the way we treat people. And I think they're different entities, and we dehumanize people a lot. I think social media and online dating particularly dehumanizes people massively, in both ways, from a point of view of, oh, they're attractive, to a point of view, oh, they're not attractive. And that's all you see. But dating apps, I'll do a whole podcast on dating apps, because they, but they do work for some people. Yeah, so
it's each to their own, but you're right. And it's, yeah, I saw something recently, can't remember who coined it, but it was, in a world where we've never been so connected, or more connected than ever through these clever little devices, you know, we've also never felt so alone. And it's so true. You know, it's so true. And it goes back to the human connection. You know, we met up before we did this. You know, I felt like that was important to me, that we did that. It's that human connection, that, you know, seeing the whites of someone's eyes, you know. You know?
Yeah, see, and you were right. I was a bit nervous to meet you, and I was a bit reluctant. I'll be transparent. I was like, fuck's sake, can't we do the podcast first? And then we can meet up. Because it's less tense. But you were completely spot on. So that was very true. And it is.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I like to think that I'm an approachable guy, you know? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, you were. You were great. I came back being completely comfortable. Fantastic. And I thought, yeah, that was a 9-10 experience. Fantastic. So it was absolutely fine.
That's good.
It was just, you had that extra bit of wisdom and extra bit of insight that I, and maybe extra bit of strength that I didn't have at the moment. And I was like, Okay, we'll go with it. Let's meet in this random cafe in Farnham I've never been to
but
before.
You know, but you know what? We'll it goes back to one of my initial points about stretching the comfort zone, right? For you,
yeah, exactly.
That was stretching your comfort zone. And you grew from it.
It was.
You know? Like, for me,
I did grow from it.
Right now, doing this podcast, having this conversation with you, it's stretching my comfort zone as well.
Mm.
It's being, being comfortable, being uncomfortable, putting yourself in voluntary discomfort, you know, but you grow from it.
Absolutely. You grow from it. And yeah. And the great thing about growing from things is that the memory stays with you and you can always look back and you have proof of what you're capable of now and how you developed. And yeah, you are spot on.
Yeah.
So Portsmouth, I was going to say something. That's really cool that you got to play for your childhood club or your club as a child, because that's like a, because a lot of childhoods, they're sort of nothing really, aren't they? People don't have they don't have a cool thing to say about their childhood. It's just exists. And then when you become an adult, I mean, they, you know, they do great things and they've got ups and downs as everything, but to be able to say during these years of my childhood, I got to play for Portsmouth. That's a great thing that you'll always be able to carry with you.
And absolutely.
You know, that's, and you know, it's obviously set you in really good stead. So who do you think I support?
It's on your wall, pal, behind you. I think that's a bit of a giveaway.
We don't
need to go into that. Then we don't. That's another pod. That's a whole other podcast as well.
That's a whole other YouTube channel. That is. What are your long-term goals and visions, or relatively long-term, if that's appropriate?
Good question.
Maybe it's not.
No, you're full of good ideas and good questions, aren't you, Ollie? So,
thank you.
Long-term vision. Oh, vision is a great word. Vision is a great word because obviously,
it's got football connotations.
It's an interesting one because obviously the goals are like madness, right? You know, they should pull you towards the future. But you should set the goal, not necessarily to achieve it, but see who you become along the way. And that's from Jim Rohn again. You know, I think that is just brilliant because again, it goes back to being journey orientated. You know, loving the process, you know, loving the challenges, loving the setbacks, you know, and it's because it isn't necessarily achieving the goal that, you know, people sometimes put so much happiness on when I have this or when I achieve this or, you know, when I do this, you know, they hold back on their happiness until it's done, right? And then they get there and they go, oh, is that it? You know? And they just kind of forget the whole process along the way to getting there, you know? So it's, I think Jim put it absolutely spot on when he said, you know, it's not the goal itself, it's who you need to become in order to achieve it. I think it's just so spot on. So for me, you know, in terms of my long-term plans and my visions, you know, I certainly see myself continuing with what I do day to day in terms of my impact on other people's lives, you know, through coaching, through the Fitmen focus group, because as I say, for me, the overriding driver for me is contribution, contribution to other people's lives, something that is bigger than just myself, you know. And I think we all have that. I think we all have that, that deep rooted desire to want to do that. But I don't think a lot of people, they either can't find it, they can't find it within themselves or discover it, or perhaps their priorities aren't necessarily aligned, you know. But I think, as I say, I think for me, in terms of, like, I don't really want to give you anything too specific, but as I say, for me, it's just contribution. I think that's the big driver for me that takes me day to day. And I don't look too far ahead. I mean, obviously I do have things that I want to achieve and, you know, who I want to become and places I want to go and people I want to meet. I do have all those things, but I don't want to focus too far ahead, because then you lose sight of the present and, you know, you just don't know what life is going to throw up in, you know, in the time in between. You don't know. So you've got to try and be present where you are. And it's a good one I heard from the High Performance Podcast, from Phil Neville. He was asked the question, what is high performance to you? And he said, high performance to me is doing the best you can with who you are, where you are, and what you have currently. I think that's a brilliant way to describe high performance. That was the question that obviously Jake Humphrey and Professor Damien Hughes posed to Phil. I thought it's so simple, but so profound. Yeah. I thought it was brilliant. I really did. It really struck a chord with me.
Maxing out. Yeah. Maxing out your attributes as best as you can, and, you know, dealing with the cards that you're dealt as best as you can. Yeah, that's brilliant. I just want to go back to the football and the goal, because the reason why football is such a popular sport is because it's a bit like a metaphor for life, in the sense of we all have goals and we all try to aim for these goals, and we can all miss a mark, and we can all, you know, it's like, why do people care if Harry Kane puts a little ball into a net, and why do thousands of people jump up from their seat and scream? Like, what does it really mean? And it's, you know, you being interested in football and coaching and all these things, it all makes sense. They're all linked on a deeper level, and that's what football's about. It's about scoring a goal, and, you know, it's the crowd, they get off their seat, and then it's all this anticipation, and then you've got the climax, and then everyone sort of forgets, and, you know, you move on, and then it's about getting the next goal, and that's what life is about. It's like, you get the positive emotion that you get when you're building towards something, and then you get that massive burst of like achieving it, and then it just dies, and then it's like you're back to square one, and you've got to go and get the next one, otherwise you're going to lose because Højbjerg is awful and Davinson Sanchez is playing, so it's like it's going to be rubbish. But, that really makes sense.
Bless you. And I'll just digress on what you said there, Ollie. So when I was at the tournament weekend just gone down in Southampton at the Stadium Lane Football Complex, there's a quote on the wall in there from Pele, and it really, really relates to what you've spoken about. You know, he said, it's on the wall, he said, to me, football is more than just a football and two goals. It connects people from all corners of the world. Mm. You know,
it's a universal
language. It really is. And it's magic. You know, it is absolute magic. And it's, again, it's that connection, you know, bringing people together, you know, contribution, you know, all these things. It's it is a force for good. It really is.
Yeah. It is a force for good. And people say, yeah, it is. And people say, oh, how is, you know, how are they, why do they earn so much money? They just kick a football, they just kick a ball around a pitch. Like, what's the big deal? And it's like, I mean, maybe objectively that's what they're doing, but I mean, there aren't millions of kids around the world playing lawyer at lunch and break times in schools, are they? Kids in Africa aren't playing engineer. I mean, they are, they're building things, but you know, you've got to look at those sort of that proof and that social proof of there's something about football that is just,
well, just sport, that is human, just sport that in is general human. Doesn't is, necessarily have is, to be football, just sport in general, you know,
yeah.
But obviously that was right, yeah, that was a quote from Pelé, you know, and it's spot on.
Yeah,
spot on. And one of the greatest players to have ever graced the beautiful game.
Yeah, other than
of course
Harry Kane. Of course, can't forget him. Right, I'll do the final question because we've been going a long time and I'm sure you've got busy. So
just on that point,
give me
better to be productive rather than busy.
Okay. Oh yes, yes. Talk to me.
Better
about that. That's
a good
point.
Better to be productive rather than busy.
What's the difference between being productive? What's the difference between being productive?
So
and being
for me,
busy?
If you focus on being busy and just going, you can just end up doing figure of eights all day and getting nowhere. Whereas if you flip that, you know, if you flip it and focus on being productive with your time, I think it's a much more positive way of looking at just day-to-day tasks, you know, whatever that may be to you. You know, if you can focus on being productive with your time rather than busy. A great book I got given to by a really good friend of mine. It's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Fantastic book. And it, you know, it's about trying to break out of the chaos of the modern world, you know, because it's so easy to get caught up in it. But, you know, I think for me, that's how I would try and flip, you know, being busy, flip it to trying to be productive. So, yeah, that's my views on that.
And that's very important. It is work smart, not hard. Well, work both, but you know, I always there was an example. Oh yeah, when I used to write my blog posts, I used to write them. This probably won't make the cut, actually, but who cares? I used to write loads of blog posts, and they didn't really get much attention. And then I kind of knew that I should have started a TikTok. Where I put up videos of people talking. I mean, there's loads of them out there. It's nothing original, but I didn't. And then when I did, it was way more effective than writing the blogs. And I always remember thinking, yeah, I wasn't working smart here. I should have anticipated this earlier and made a change, but I didn't. But you're right. Yeah. Be productive, not busy. Cause you know, and then you'll get burnt out and you haven't even done anything. And it's like, oh, for fuck's sake,
I didn't try and flip it.
Yeah.
I think that would be my advice for flip that mentality.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What was final question? Have you ever had a breaking point?
Have I ever had?
What was your breaking point where you thought?
I've ever had a breaking point.
To make a change. Or I thought I've got to stop doing this, or I need to do this now. You don't strike me as the type that's had. I reckon you're really.
I think there was a breaking point in terms of me you know, finding personal development, and I suppose that chain reaction. And that was probably at my university graduation, just before lockdown. That was probably that was probably a broken point for me, because I just felt like a sheep. I felt like a sheep.
Like a what? Sheep.
Yeah. It was really weird, because I was sat there, and obviously it's, you know, it's a, it's quite something to, you know, go through university and do well, and it is, you know, there is an enormous, there's an enormous sense of achievement. I think that's the right word to use. There's an enormous sense of achievement, and you know, it's a big thing. But at the same time, I just felt like, surely there's just got to be more to my life than this, you know? Surely. You know, I just felt like, I literally just felt like a number in a, you know, a sea of faces. And it was really weird. It was really weird. Because I do remember it so vividly. I really do. And I suppose that was a breaking point in terms of me, you know, discovering the idea of personal development and this new way of thinking and having a different perspective on life. And so, yeah, I suppose it all kind of stems from there. So you could probably say that was a breaking point for me. Yeah.
And, you know, here you are, and you're finding your own path and doing what calls to you, which is what everyone out there should be doing what calls to us. Brilliant, Anthony, that's great. Right, thank you guys for watching. This has been another episode of the Breaking Point podcast. I will put all of Anthony's socials, or whatever he wants me to put, in the description, and I'd love to have him back, and I'm sure he will be back soon. And yeah, thank you for watching, and we'll see you on the next one.